Hello and welcome to Community Concerns. I'm John Hall. Today, Community Concerns is a program about faith and family and what it means to be alive in Western Pennsylvania in the 21st century. For the next 26 minutes, we'll talk about the intersection of God in our lives, His transformative power, and our great need in the city and the region and the country to include Him in all aspects of our life. Today, our guest is Troy Knott. Troy is a John Maxwell certified coach, a teacher, a speaker. Troy Knott offers leadership workshops, seminars, speaking and coaching, aiding personal and professional growth through the study and practical application of John C. Maxwell's proven leadership principles. Troy also holds a Bachelor of Science degree in mathematics with an emphasis in computer science from Penn State University. And today, Troy will talk to us about what it is to be part of and to especially lead a family. Troy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure, Troy. So, Troy, it's quite common to hear people bemoaning the state of the family in America today. Is that just hype or rhetoric? I guess that's the question for a lot of people. Are American families really disintegrating today? Now, sadly, a lot of the evidence seems to indicate that the traditional American family is an endangered species. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
What about the family and the deterioration of the American family today?
Yeah, I feel strongly that a lot of that has to do with the lack of the man's leadership within the family itself. There's really two things. There's the family that has a dad, but he's either mentally, spiritually, or emotionally absent, or he's not really sure how to lead his family, which Sure. includes his spouse and the kids. The other one is families that are just fatherless. But I really today just want to focus on the families that have a dad but may not know how to lead as effectively as possible.
I see. So guys who are there, who've shown up, who are trying to do the right thing, but in some ways are a little clueless.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah. Okay, so then what does it mean for the dad to lead the family?
Well, you know, if you go back and you look at what God has to say about the reporting structure for the family, for the businessmen out there. God really created man to lead a family. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, Paul writes and says, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. Man is the head of every woman, and God is the head of Christ." So the reporting structure is the woman reports to her husband, the husband reports to Christ, and Christ reports to God. So as men, we have the responsibility for our families.
You know, in today's political landscape, what you said, for a lot of people, that's inflammatory, isn't it?
It hurts some people.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because, you know, we're gonna look at the Bible as truth, and that standard is what we're going to measure the leadership aspect of our families with.
Excellent. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to argue against that, right? When you look at the historical strength of a biblical leadership as far as leading a family, the proof's right there.
Absolutely. It really is. And there's a couple of things when it comes to leading a family. And we talk about what, you know, men will ask me all the time, what does it mean for me to lead my family? And there's really two areas. One is taking responsibility and one is being courageous. Taking responsibility for me means that a dad, a spouse has to provide protection, provision, and presence. I call them the three P's. And what I mean by that is from a protection standpoint, you really need to be the safety and security for your family. And that is that's the dad's role.
Yes.
The number one thing that any dad and spouse should be doing for his family is praying. Prayer is the basis of everything. So it starts with prayer. There are some great protection prayer verses that I like to use. 2 Corinthians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." John 17:15, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one."
Yeah.
And a lot of people know this from the Lord's Prayer, but Matthew 6:13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So it's really man's responsibility to pray these types of prayers of protection for their family.
First action is to pray, because
Absolutely.
that hedge of protection around the family, all things stem from that. And then so from that, from the spiritual of you conversation, of you're having a conversation with God, praying to God for the spiritual protection of your family, there's also the physical aspect of this as well, right? You turn on the TV today or the computer, there's a heck of a lot of stuff out there that you don't want your family to be part of.
You know, prayers for protection from the world. We can control, as dads, what our kids are watching on TV, what they're being exposed to on the internet, the friends that they hang out with. We really need to be involved with our kids and know what they're looking at, what they're watching, how their friends are influencing them.
Yeah. I think for a lot of dads, they go, well, you know, I don't want to interfere with my kid's life. Or, you know, I trust my kids do the right thing.
We're doing them a disservice by having that attitude.
A disservice. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So, yeah. So continue on then. So prayer, of course, that's key. About the protection from the world, about the internet and television, that's also key. What other things?
Yeah. Protection from peer pressure. Our kids nowadays are under a tremendous amount of peer pressure. And that is their friends really forcing them to fit in to the world, to the world's vision of what it is that they should fit into. The model, what the world's expecting of them. And as a dad and as a father of the family and a leader of the family, we really need to be telling our kids God's model. This is what God's expected. And we should be reiterating to them that they are unconditionally loved and they're valued for who they are and who God created them to be.
For a lot of dads, I bet, who didn't grow up in that model, they didn't receive the unconditional love. They didn't know that God loved them. That's a big leap, isn't it?
It's a huge leap for those men. And you know, I've been in men's ministry for 14 years. And I hear that men come to a group and we start talking and they said, I did not know this.
Not who I am.
No.
My dad never told that to me.
Exactly. But their question is, how can I start leading like that? What are the steps that I can start taking? So it's an opportunity as part of a men's group to be able to influence the current generation of fathers on how they can start leading their families better.
Nice. What about provision? Of course, you know, the dad, I remember my mom would always say about my dad, oh, your father, he's a wonderful provider, you know, and that was high praise for him because that's what he was. A lot of guys, they understand what it is to hump, right?
Yeah.
They get out there and they work every day. There's a lot to be said for that. But
absolutely,
there's also other ways to provide for your family.
That's right, yeah. The financial way, you know, providing for the family financially is the one that men always think of. But there's other ways. There's spiritual, you know, providing that prayer every day and teaching your family how to pray and then praying together as a family. I think it's so important as part of the provision aspect that we are teaching our family how to pray and that we are praying together. The other thing as part of the spiritual aspect is making sure that we're plugged into a church that meets our family's needs. There are lots of churches out there, and it's really important for the dad to find that church that's going to meet his family's needs. There's the emotional aspect of provision, being that shoulder to lean on for your kids and for your wife, and just sitting there and listening sometimes. You know, I came up with a rule. I have my wife and my daughter. We have an only child, and I'm a fixer. Most guys are fixers.
Yeah.
So they bring a problem to me, and I'm ready to fix it.
Sure.
We came up with a rule. If they just want me to listen, Dad, or hon, this isn't the time for you to fix it. I just need for you to listen. And that just sets the expectation for me.
That's good, right? Yeah, you don't have to leap into action.
No.
Leave the Superman cape aside for a while.
Exactly. I just sit there and I listen.
That's good. There's a lot to be said for presence, right?
Absolutely.
I know you're there, and that's oftentimes enough.
Yeah, and that's really the next point is the presence is being there for your family, especially when they need you. But there's a lot of things that get in our way as a providers when it comes to the presence,
yeah.
Our work. You know, spending those long hours at work. Sometimes we have to do that, and that interferes with our business. I know that I worked with a lot of businessmen that traveled all the time. They saw their kids maybe for a few hours on weekends.
Yeah.
And then just listening to them through the week of the problems that they were having. And it was a lot of the issues were because they weren't present for their kids. The other thing is personal time. As a father, if I am busy at work, am I still spending that personal time with my wife and my kids when I am home and available.
Yeah.
That's a big one. And friends. I knew a lot of guys when they were working all week away from home, they were going home on the weekends and they were going out with their buddies. You know, they were going to the big football game sure. on Sunday. So not taking that priority time then when they were home, you know, a real hindrance to the whole presence aspect.
So, Troy, what I hear that there's an intentionality to this.
Right? Absolutely.
A game plan's in effect that, yeah, every guy's got to work, everybody's got to provide, but when you're with your family, you're intentionally there one way or another.
Yeah, and it is a daily decision to be intentional. It really is. And, you know, one thing that I want to talk about is the whole idea of how do you wake up every day and know that I'm going to do something that's going to add value to my family in mm-hmm. some aspect.
Okay, so talk about that, right? There's a game plan here, in effect, so to speak.
Yep. So there's a game plan for the dads. If they're not sure about how they can lead, well, what can you do to start leading? Things that I always like to suggest as part of an intentional plan is to put a personal growth plan together. For me, that should start with, what am I doing spiritually every day? Getting up in the morning, setting time aside at the very beginning of my day to read the scripture and to pray,
yeah.
praying for my family, praying for my job, praying for my wife's job if she's working, praying for my children. You know, I have an only child, but I prayed for her every day. I prayed for her future husband, you know, and was blessed to have a son-in-law. But that started 20 years ago,
right.
you know, when she was little. So,
and I love this because, you know, for a lot of people who don't pray on a regular basis, they think, what, really? I'm praying. My baby is a baby.
Right.
And I'm praying 20 years down the line or 25 down the years of the line when she's going to meet someone and get married. I mean, that's really powerful. It's necessary. But for people who are marginal or non-believers, that seems like a fairy tale.
Exactly. It does. But it's so important. You know, God, and it comes to God's timing. We pray, but in God's fullness of time, his perfect time, he is going to provide that answer.
I'm into that. Yep.
You know, so we prayed for, you know, 20 years and ended up with an awesome son-in-law.
Excellent.
So it's great. Yeah. I mean, he answered our prayers.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
You did the work and God provided.
Exactly. Yeah, did the point. Work and praying.
Yes, excellent. Okay, so then go on. Talk about the idea of the priority, the teaching of the children, all these things together, right? They create the strong family.
When we as men make it an intention to add value to our families, there's different ways we can do it. You know, I say get up every day, pray,
yeah.
study scripture. Another aspect that I think is very important is to get involved in a men's group. Find a local church. Find if they, you know, find out if they have a strong men's ministry and get plugged into it. There are two great resources that I have used with my men's group. One is called Kingdom Man by Dr. Tony Evans, and the other is Stepping Up by Dennis Rainey.
Yeah.
Excellent resources to understand what does it mean for a father and for a man as a spouse to lead his family.
Good and godly men being with other good and godly men.
And holding and as part of that men's group, holding each other accountable to those standards. So you have a standard for what it means to lead your family and to be a godly man. But then having a brother come alongside of you and hold you accountable and keep you grounded and intentional and saying, did you pray for your family today? Did you spend time in the Bible this morning studying your scripture? That is huge, having that accountability partner to make sure that you're staying on the right track.
That's really good. I mean, a lot of guys want to hang out, like you said, you know, weekends are here and the game's on and whatever. If not, I'm going to have a beer or two. But there's a big difference between hanging out with guys and working with guys on a spiritual plan and the accountability in the midst of all that.
The other thing, you know, as part of creating a personal growth plan, one of the resources that I like to use is from the John Maxwell team, the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. 15 steps of setting a plan for each step along the way. What am I going to do? Where do I need to change? What areas do I need to grow in? And then taking intentional steps to making sure that those happen. And if you can do that as part of a men's group and have an accountability partner, you know, they say a habit is formed after doing something 21 days in a row.
Right.
So having that person that's going to call you day 2, day 3, day 10, 11 to say, are you sticking to your plan is essential in order to continue to grow in the area that you need to grow in.
Hey, if you just joined us, this is Community Concerns. Troy Knott is with us, and we're talking about family leadership and what it is to be a father. We've got a lot more. So let's talk about this, the spiritual formation, the formation of what it is to talk to your child about these principles, what it is to teach your son to be a man.
There's a great resource out there by Dr. Albert Mohler. If you Google it, it's the 13 Marks of Biblical Manhood. 13 Marks of Biblical Manhood by Dr. Albert Mohler. He talks about the maturity that a young man should be taught by his father. And he lists 13 different areas of maturity: spiritual, personal, economic, physical, sexual, moral, ethical, the worldview, relational, social, verbal, character, and biblical maturity. It's a great read. I recommend all men going out and taking a look at that, especially if you have kids, because this is how you're going to teach your young son to grow into a man.
Right. So instead of having a son who stumbles forward in life and blindly tries to figure it out on his own, as a father who's intentional, who's accountable to other men, there's a game plan in place. So what you're just talking about, the spiritual, the economic, the sexual, the moral, the social, the biblical, all those things Dr. Mohler has put together in a concise format.
Correct. Yeah. And it's one of those things, if we as fathers aren't teaching our kids that and teaching our sons that, they're going to learn it from their friends at school, and they're going to learn the world's view, which is why we're in the mess that we're in from the families.
Or they might learn it 10 or 15 or 25 years down the line and stumble forward blindly all that time. Better to get it planted here soil in the deep soil now.
Exactly. Yeah. Plant it while it's young.
Yeah. Okay. So then, just talk about a few of these things, the things that are necessary. When you looked at, you know, you as a guy and the things that were, you know, sort of driving you, the things that you really wanted to have as a man, what were those things?
Yeah, this is great because a lot of it comes from my dad. My dad did an awesome job helping raise me. I mean, both my parents, but from a father standpoint, instilling the necessary manhood type characteristics, qualities into me. Number one, the importance of keeping promises and commitments. That is so lacking today. That goes back to the responsibility piece. We need to teach our kids that when they make mistakes, to stand up and take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
When you say you're going to do something, your word means something, and you follow through on it.
Yeah.
Even if something better comes along, you know, if you made a commitment, you stick to that commitment.
Yeah.
The other thing is standing up for what you know is right and not letting the world influence a wrong decision. But if you have that standard and you've been taught that standard, making sure that you follow through and doing the right thing based on that standard. Handling temptations, I think, is a huge thing for dad to talk to their kids about.
Yeah.
When you are presented with that temptation, what are you going to do? One of the things that I did was taught senior high Sunday school for 17 years. And I talk to the kids all the time about the influences that they're going to face as they move from a freshman in high school until they're a senior in high school and then going on to college. And this just happened a few years ago, and I talked about this. When you go to a party, you're invited to a party, and if you drive or your parents drop you off and you show up to the party, no alcohol was going to be there, but now there's alcohol.
Yeah.
And you're underage.
Now what?
Now what? So I always said to the kids, you need to know what you're going to do before you're put into a situation like that. So what's your decision so you're not sitting there having your friends trying to convince you why you should stay?
Yeah.
So by talking with the kids through that, saying that there are consequences to your choices. So if you choose to stay and the party happens to be busted by the cops and you're underage, there's consequences to that.
Yeah.
So are you willing to pay those consequences? So we had the conversation with that in Sunday school a few years ago. And it just so happened a few weeks after we had the conversation, one of the local schools had a party. And there was a football player there who had a full paid scholarship to a well-known university to play football. And he was at the party. He wasn't drinking, but he was underage. And everybody was busted. He lost his entire scholarship.
Ugh.
Yeah. So there was one of those situations where, having just talked to the kids about that, they saw, you know, a real life situation. And it made a lot of them think about what are the consequences to my choices.
Okay. So this is practical application. I mean, things that every dad should understand himself and then be able to pass along to his son. Troy, with just a few minutes left, go a little deeper here. You've been talking about, you know, the character things that are really important. What's the important thing that you want to impart about being a dad, about being a father?
The most important thing for me is the legacy that you're going to leave for your kids and your grandkids.
After the father's gone, the sons are there. Like you just spoke about your father.
Absolutely.
He did a great job, you said. There's a legacy.
So what did he pass along to me
yeah.
that I have in turn passed on to my daughter, who is now going to pass on to my grandson, and then my grandson to his son? So it's what happens after you're gone. I like to look at it is that our children are a living message for a time that we will not see. So what message as men do we want to leave for the future generations?
Right.
And that is what, to me, biblical manhood, leading the family is all about, that legacy that we're wanting to leave.
That's good. I mean, whether you know it or not, right? I mean, after you're gone, your parents or your children and your grandchildren will speak of you in some way. So you leave a quality legacy, some tools that are necessary for a man to flourish in this world.
Absolutely. You know, we see sometimes the not so good things in the actions of our kids.
Sure.
We need to go back to the word that you use, that intentionality of what are the good things that we want to pass along. You know, I'll give you a great example. My dad told me every day before I went to school to think. Troy, think. He would take his index finger, he'd tap it on his forehead a few times, and he'd say, think. That was something that I wanted to pass on to my daughter. I wanted to add my own flavor to it. So not only did I say think to her, but I also told her to be kind and respectful. So think, be kind, and respectful. That kind of morphed from elementary school into junior high school was TKR. So every morning before she went to school, it was TKR. It was that constant reminder that she needed to think, to be kind, and respectful. And for me, as she grew up, reminding her of that, there were parts of those words that I wanted her to think about more deeply. So when I was telling her to think, it was think before you speak, think before you act, think of others before yourself. So helping to instill those types of thoughts and action patterns into her life was important to me. When I was telling her to be kind, you know, one of the greatest scriptures, it says, Proverbs 3:3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Kindness must be really important.
Yes.
So I wanted her to understand that. And then just respect, you know, respecting us as parents, respecting authority. There's such a lack of respect for authority anymore. I wanted her to understand what that meant. And then respecting everybody else, which includes our enemies. We should respect all people at all times. So think, be kind, and respectful for me is that legacy that I wanted to pass on to her. I am sure that I'm going to pass that along, and she will pass it along to our grandson. So that's the type of thing, you know, when I'm not here anymore, that my family was thoughtful, respectful, and kind to people.
Very nice. TKR.
TKR.
That's good. Hey, if you just joined us, this is Community Concerns. I'm John Hall. Troy Knott is with us. Troy's been talking to us about the family and leadership and what it is to be a father, an intentional father in today's crazy mixed up world. Troy, literally with about 60 seconds left, our time quickly has gone by here. People hear you. They hear the good and godly wisdom that you've provided us over these last 25 minutes or so. What about if they want to reach out to you to go a little deeper? Talk to us about that.
I have a website. It's www.oakleadership.com. All my contact information is on there. If they want to schedule time to talk to me, there's a calendar. All they have to do is log their name in. It'll come and schedule some time, and we can chat.
Very nice. Well, Troy, thanks an awful lot. The time's
thanks
gone
for
by
having me. This is great.
It is great. I mean, I appreciate it. I mean, it's rare to have this conversation in this world today that is so secularized, to think about God in the middle of our lives and the intentional aspects of what it is to raise a child up in a good way. So thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
This has been Community Concerns. I'm John Hall. We'll see you next time.